Do you get conflicting information about what's going to happen in the market? Well, I do too. And that's what we're going to talk about in episode 41 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Hi, everyone. Marty Becker coming from St. Louis, Missouri, owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities product. The reason I'm doing this particular podcast is I have clients almost on a daily basis at this point asking me to manage their other monies outside of the annuities that I've set up for them. And because I'm not securities licensed as of yet, although I am studying for the test when I have the time to actually do it, but the reason I think I have so many people asking me to do that for them is because I have a tendency not to overhype anything. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to equities and the stock market, no one knows what's going to happen. Now, you can certainly forecast possible scenarios based on past performance in certain economic climates, but no one can tell you the exact day when the market's going to go up or down. And that's why there's so much conflicting information out there. And let me give you an example of this conflicting information, because I subscribe to a lot of newsletters out there, and all of them are saying something different. But what do you do when the exact same newsletter gives you conflicting information? So take a look at this. I blocked out the name of the newsletter because I don't want to get sued for something. But when I saw this, I thought, this is what screws people up here. So just take a look at the headline from the email. Don't buy into the recession doom and gloom. And that was from August 16th of this year, 2024, when this is being recorded. Now, look at this next email that I got from them literally 3 days later. A storm is brewing in the stock market. So when I saw this literally 3 days later, I'm thinking, okay, well, which is it? Is everything going to be okay, or are the wheels about to come off this thing? I'm going to let you in on a little secret here.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. They don't know. And it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, all the advisors are just guessing. And some are guessing that it's going to crash and they give very good reasons for it. And others are guessing that the party is just getting started and they give very good reasons for it. Now, what is the solution when you're getting all this conflicting information? Because the people I work with personally, they don't want to deal with this crap anymore. They don't. They don't want the stress. They don't want to have to pay attention to CNBC or what the Fed is doing, and they don't want to have to babysit their advisor. The solution, at least for my clients, is that when you have enough of your income guaranteed, you can get as aggressive as you want, and it doesn't matter what happens in the market after that. Now, of course, we don't want to lose money, and if that can be prevented, that's what we want to do. But what if you wait too long? And what if you don't get out in time? Now, I was having this exact same conversation with a potential client the other night. And what I was explaining to him is that when we have enough of his income guaranteed, it doesn't matter what happens in the market. Because what he was doing is represented by the red line in these graphs that you're looking at. And the green line was the Atlas strategy. So no matter if we went into a terrible market represented by a negative sequence of returns, meaning early losses right after his retirement, or if we went into a fantastic market, he was still going to have plenty of money, even in a worst case scenario. And in a best case scenario, we still didn't have any opportunity cost. In fact, it got totally insane how much money he could have in a perfect scenario. And once this was set up, there was no micromanaging. This was literally just set it and forget it in his equities. This was a representation of that. But you may be saying, Marty, my financial guy doesn't think like that. He's an active trader. Well, I can tell you there's been a lot of studies done about active trading, and the results really do not differ from monkeys throwing darts at a board picking equities. There's only been one guy who has been revered in the active trading world, and that's Peter Lynch. So here's an article written about active trading. In fact, I think it was called Active Trading Doesn't Work or Active Management Doesn't Work, something like that, on retirementresearcher.com, written by Dr. Wade Fow. What Fow says is over the 12 full years that Lynch was at the helm, he beat the S&P 500 index all but 2 years, or 83% of the time. Pretty impressive, right? Especially considering that back then, most people weren't being constantly bombarded by investment information like they are now, like 20 emails a day, like I get. In short, Peter Lynch was able to beat the market. So how do I, this is Fow talking, get from Peter Lynch as a superhuman investor who can see the future to active management doesn't work? It seems contradictory, to say the least. Let's look at what happened after Lynch left. How good was Peter Lynch, who clearly knew what it took to beat the market, at identifying someone else who could do the same? That's the situation most investors are in. For you to be better off using active management, so you finding somebody out there who's going to move your money around constantly, Fow continues, you need to identify someone who can consistently beat the market on a risk and fee adjusted basis, meaning they can outperform the market along with charging you their fees. Otherwise, you'd be better off with a plain, boring, passive investment strategy. Fow continues, it turns out even Peter Lynch couldn't do it. We'll look at the numbers in a little bit if you want to go and find this article. But let's stop and think about the situation Lynch was in when choosing his successor. I, Wade Fow, compared his situation above to the situation most investors are in when choosing an active manager. But that's not quite right. He was in a much better position than everyone else. As you can probably imagine, Lynch was pretty well revered by the end of his tenure. Everyone wanted to work with him. That means he had infinitely more access to any information he wanted about the people who would succeed him. And he still couldn't pick someone who could beat the market. Lynch chose Morris Smith as his successor. Unfortunately for our analytics, Smith left the Magellan Fund, which is what Peter Lynch was running, just 2 years after he started, which makes our regression analysis difficult. To get around this, we'll include the manager that followed Smith, Jeffrey Vinnick, I think is how you pronounce it. With the S&P 500 comparison, Lynch's successors look pretty average. Smith and Vinnick ran the fund for a combined 73 full months. In that time, the Magellan Fund beat the S&P 500 index over 39 of those months, so 53% of the time. In other words, that's about what you would expect from random chance. So again, what is the point of this? The point is that your guy or gal doesn't know. Solution, again, in my opinion, is to get the guaranteed income and then start investigating maybe some low-cost index funds. And if you're thinking to yourself, I have no idea what he's talking about when he says index funds, I want to recommend a book to you called The Coffee House Investor. It's a very easy to understand book and it's very well written. In fact, it was one of my very first annuity clients who recommended this to me. He followed the philosophy and the strategies laid out in this book. And he was a high school teacher at a private school, so he never really made a lot of money. But I can tell you, this guy had almost $2 million in his retirement portfolio. And again, I don't want to come across that I'm beating up other advisors out there. This is a very hard business, and clients can be very fickle. They have unrealistic expectations most of the time. Sometimes that's their fault. Sometimes that's the fault of the advisor, set expectations. But I'm telling you this because you can set up a retirement that will just cancel out all the noise. Okay. You can have sleep insurance. You can become economy proof, and it won't matter what any article or newsletter or financial show host on CNBC says that they think is going to happen. So everyone, that's all I have for you today. I just thought that was ironic that I got those two emails so close to each other. If you want to learn how to have an economy-proof retirement plan and have some sleep insurance, all you have to do is go to atlasannuity.com to book a short phone call and get your questions answered to see if the Atlas Annuity strategy is right for you. And if you're finding this information helpful, give this podcast a like, subscribe to it, and share it with someone that you think would benefit from the information. Again, this is Marty Becker coming to you with episode number 41 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast, wishing you all the best in your financial education. We will see you in the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. All information presented is for educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to implement any tax strategy, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or transfer any security or insurance products. Atlas Financial Strategies Incorporated is an insurance-only licensed entity, and any decisions to buy or sell securities should be discussed with a licensed securities advisor, and any tax strategy should be discussed with a licensed tax professional. Past performance of any strategies or products mentioned are not a guarantee of future returns. For any other questions or concerns, please go to www.atlasannuity.com.